Welcome to the Sound Ideas Podcast, sponsored by who else but Sound Ideas, the world's largest publisher of professional sound effects, royalty-free music, and production elements. Visit us at www.sound-ideas.com. But now, let's get on with the show.
Hi, this is Mark Jensen for Sound Ideas, with a look at sound effects and the golden years of Hanna-Barbera. At the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Animation Studios in 1939, the remarkable partnership of William Hanna and Joseph Barbera began. Puss Gets the Boot, a 1940 cartoon release, was their first directorial project and developed into the popular and long-lived cartoon partnership of Tom and Jerry. Hanna and Barbera won a total of 8 Oscars during their time at MGM. But in 1957, the MGM animation studio was closed. They shopped their services around to all the major players, but there were no takers. And so an independent company, originally called HB Enterprises, was formed. They staffed the new company with most of the crew from the old MGM animation unit and started production. No one believed you could afford to do animation for television. In the heyday of the Tom and Jerry cartoons, each 5-minute segment was budgeted at around $45,000 and took 26,000 drawings. But Hanna-Barbera became the first animation studio to successfully produce animated cartoons, especially made for television. They came to an agreement with Screen Gems, who provided them with operating capital in exchange for distribution rights. And they made the whole system work with a budget of about $3,000 per 5-minute segment. The era of limited animation had begun, and they had to draw on every piece of knowledge and animation ingenuity they had, including camera shakes, truck-ins, dissolves, and quick cuts to increase the feeling of motion. NBC picked up the first cartoon, which was called Rough and Ready, and that was followed by the Huckleberry Hound show. Hanna and Barbera felt that the limited animation format could succeed if the material had good visual artwork and painting, funny characters, good stories, and good sound effects. And they knew that they had the best sound effects people in the business. When Huckleberry Hound won an Emmy in its very first year, it confirmed that they were right on track. Hanna-Barbera produced many successful cartoon series over the next 3 decades, all of which have become icons of American pop culture. Many of these original TV series were produced to compete in prime time against sitcoms, television dramas, and quiz shows. Among the many successful cartoons that were produced for primetime viewing includes The Flintstones, The Jetsons, The Huckleberry Hound Show, and its spinoff, The Yogi Bear Show. By far the most popular of these was The Flintstones, which became a top-rated television show. The February 22, 1963 episode called The Blessed Event was written about the birth of Pebbles Flintstone and was the highest-rated episode in the show's history. Hanna-Barbera were not just famous for their cartoons and characters, they also were well-known for their vast library of sound effects. It held not only the cartoon-style sound effects, such as ricochets, slide whistles, and hits that their team invented, but also familiar everyday sounds, such as transportation, household items, and weather. When the MGM Animation Studios closed in 1957, Hanna and Barbera received permission to take some of the MGM sounds with them. They pulled some things that might be more difficult for them to recreate, like jet planes, railroad trains, and some of the ricochets in particular. The Hanna-Barbera sound effects team immediately began expanding their collection and adding more sound effects to their library. Fred McAlpin was a true pioneer in the field. He had worked at the Harmon and Isling studios initially, and went from there to MGM, where he created all the sound effects for the Tom and Jerry cartoons. It's likely that when he moved to MGM, he took the bulk of the Harmon Isling sound effects library with him. There was such an element of camaraderie in the old days that when a sound editor left one company and joined another, it was common for him to take his own effects along. McAlpin used to build all kinds of equipment to create new sounds. Almost anything that could be used to make a new kind of clang or whack, all of this kind of building and invention was done on a stage where the effects could be recorded. They used a huge variety of props that included dishpans, pop guns, slide whistles, you name it. Sound editor Greg Watson had a great sound effects acquisition story that he would share. One night, he was all by himself in the cutting room at Sunset and La Brea. As he was working, he heard a woman scream. In the dead of the night, it was an unsettling sound to hear. But what he didn't realize was that another sound editor was working over on the other side of the lot, and he had played his scream on his moviola. Greg went to investigate the next day and found a very nice fellow over there cutting sound effects. Greg asked him if he had any Jeep sounds that he could borrow, and the editor gave him a whole library of Jeep sounds with starts and stops, high speed and low speed idling. What a great gift. Some of the effects came from fairly primitive sources. For instance, there was a specific sound created by Fred Flintstone's feet as he was getting up to speed for a ride in the buggy. Sound editor Greg Watson used the flats of his hands and the leather sofa in Bill Hanna's office to create that effect. There was a lot of imagination required. They combined different sounds on adjacent soundtracks, mixed them together, and when it worked, when the new sound was funny, they added it to the sound effects library to use it again. In those days, sound editors worked with 35mm negatives, and they would play on a moviola. The moviola would be equipped with two or three different heads, one for the film, one for the music, and one for the sound effects, so you could preview the cartoon. If the cymbal whack you had queued up wasn't quite big enough, you would go out and pull a larger sound from the library and try that one. Pat Foley, another of the sound editors working at Hanna-Barbera, noted that a lot of times you could find an effect by accident. You'd be playing something back at a higher speed just to get to the place you wanted to work, or you'd move backwards through a piece and find that the sound you heard was really different and kind of neat. So you'd stop and transfer it right away and store it as another funny sound. Some of the work was trial and error. When the newsboy delivers the paper to the Flintstones, he's handling a big slab of rock. When he yells, "Paper!" and throws it through the window, Fred will inevitably try to grab it and get knocked flat. The sound editor had to decide what kind of sound to use for that impact. Is it a bone-crushing hit, or would that go too far? They couldn't be cruel, even though they were actually hitting someone with a 4 or 5 inch thick slab of rock. The impact had to sound survivable, and it had to sound funny. Hanna and Barbera were involved in countless dubbing sessions, the process during which sounds are added to the visuals. Many times they would have sounds in mind that they would write in the margins to give direction to the sound editors. Whether they were looking for a splat or a swish or a foop, trying to share an idea of the sound as being a clank or a splash or a hit, metallic, liquid, or rubber. Cartoons were generally scored with music first, so that zips and whistles and xylophone runs could be laid into the music track. Hoyt Curtin was a conductor and music writer who did numerous shows over the years. He developed a group of boings that the sound effect editors called Hoyt's Boings. The sound effects that weren't musical were laid into a different track. There's a sound that something like a boink, but that everyone at Hanna-Barbera called a bilp. The bilp was used when someone got hit on the head. Then, of course, there's a Pat's bilp, which was created by Pat Foley. He first used it in a sequence when Fred stubbed his toe. It turned out that the perfect effect for this was actually a backwards bilp. If they needed a special sound like a swizzle, they would make their own, like blowing up various sizes of balloons and letting them loose in front of the microphone, letting the balloon swirl around the mic, or when they needed an effect to match some mice that were washing windows. Pat Foley's solution was to stand very close to the microphone and rub his teeth with the end of his finger. As his teeth dried out, he got that squeak squeak sound he was looking for. It sounded just like rubbing really hard on glass. From Borks to Bonks and Zorks to Zonix, the names are almost as fun as the effects themselves. There was great skill and experimentation at work in creating the Hanna-Barbera sound effects library, which occupied an aisle that must have seemed to about a mile long, with filing racks on either side loaded down with 35mm sound effects tracks, every kind of comic sound imaginable, each of the tracks identified with some memory cue, like loud rattling, or soft rattling, or eerie sounds, but not too scary. Poetic names were invented to describe these audio creations. Names like bilp, boink, clomp, kablam, kabong, swizzle, squinch, splosh, doink, bawang, and the ever-popular gedunk. In 1993, Fred Siebert, the last president of the studio, commissioned Sound Ideas to release a 4-CD set entitled the Hanna-Barbera Sound Effects Library, featuring almost all of the original Hanna-Barbera sound effects used from 1957 to 1992. The sound effects were digitally remastered, making them suitable for use on the new digital soundtracks. A fifth CD called Hanna-Barbera Lost Treasures was added in 1996 and featured more sound effects, including sounds from Space Ghost and The Impossibles. Here is the Hanna-Barbera Sound Effects Library audio demo, complete with Fred Flintstone and an entertaining selection of the sound effects that made Hanna-Barbera great.
Yabba jabba doo, it's sound effects time. Hello, sound lovers. It's your old pal, Fred Flintstone, here to introduce you to the new Hanna-Barbera Sound Effects Library, distributed exclusively by Sound Ideas. Sound Ideas is the world's leading producer of sound effects, and Hanna-Barbera is the king of cartoons for TV. Together, they make quite a team. This brand new collection includes more than 2,200 effects, and they're all on 4 jam-packed compact discs for easy use. Some of these effects date back to the Stone Age. Well, as far back as the 1930s anyway. But the sound quality is anything but prehistoric. Each track has been lovingly cleaned up with the latest in noise reduction techniques and digitally remastered for the purest sound. But nothing has been recreated. This is the genuine article. The actual sounds you've heard in hundreds and hundreds of great Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Plus, it includes a special booklet featuring Hanna-Barbera's greatest hits. Along with fascinating behind-the-scenes information and historic interviews with my bosses, Bill Hanna and Joe Barbera. It's the new Hanna-Barbera Sound Effects Library, exclusively distributed by Sound Ideas. Never before has such a comprehensive collection been assembled. and they've never sounded better. This is the best collection of cartoon effects in the whole world. Well, my name's not Fred Flintstone. Yabba-dabba-dee.
This podcast was brought to you by Sound Ideas, the world's largest publisher of professional sound effects, royalty-free music, and production elements. Visit us at www.sound-ideas.com. Well, that's it for now. Thanks for listening.